Get all your GA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be looking forward to the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Junior A and Senior A football finals, which have been played this weekend. We'll be hearing from the clubs, Letterkenny Gaels, Cairn Donagh, Gweedore and Niamh Connell, who are involved in those big deciders. Plus, on the soccer front, we'll hear from Fun Harp senior manager Kevin McHugh to look ahead to the Dundalk game on Friday night. Plus, we'll also be getting his thoughts on the recent announcement in the budget that there is funding now available to academies in the League of Ireland clubs. And it's with soccer we're going to actually begin this evening. History was made this week by Strabane Athletic, who took a first ever victory on their debut in the Northern Ireland League Cup. On Tuesday evening, they went to Loughgall and won 3-2 after extra time, thanks to a late winner from Cahill McShane. The Tyrone side have had a busy few weeks with cup matches in various competitions, while also, of course, hunting down promotion out of the intermediate into the Irish League Championship. Well, joining us this evening on The Score to talk about that big one this week and other matters at Strabane Athletic is their manager, Raymond Foy. Raymond, a very good evening. Welcome along to The Score programme.
Cheers, Roger.
Listen, Raymond, it's been a big week for the club. A super result on Wednesday night, away to Loughgall after extra time, winning by 3-2. And listen, a super night for the club, an historic night for the club, Raymond.
Hi, look, I was speaking to Seamus, the chairman, actually this morning about it when he knew it was coming on, and I was just asking him would it have been, as they have seen, one of their biggest results. Now, they've probably had one or two in the past, but I suppose when you see the company that the club will keep now in the last 16, it probably stands as one of the biggest results for the club. And look, here, it's great for everybody to be part of it, and we're looking forward to the draw now on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, and you didn't fear going away from home and heading into Loughgall's home territory down there and coming away with the one. And listen, you were deserving of it in the end, so you were, and took a winner from Cahill McShane close to the end of extra time.
It was one of them games, you know, probably for the first 15 minutes, they were on top. But from probably there on, I thought we were well on top in the game. They scored from two chances, really. They might have had one right at the very end of extra time, but I think I said to the players at halftime, it's one of these games that tomorrow you're either going to tell people, oh, look, we were very good, but we're beat, or you're going to be able to say, look, we pulled off a shock result. So, no, thankfully for the dominance that we showed throughout the game, we got the result, and look, everybody was delighted at the end.
Did you see this result coming?
Look, as I say, the Premier Intermediate League that we've entered or got promoted to this year is a very, very difficult league. The structure has changed, so teams have invested quite heavily in trying to get promoted. So we felt that the opposition we've faced so far, probably a lot of them could play in the Championship. So we never really feared, and we have a lot of players there. You know, we talk about we're new to the league, but we have a lot of players that have sampled the level or have played at the level for quite a long time. So when we go away to those places, we definitely respect every opposition, but we don't really play with any fear because, like, we have loads of players in that dressing room that have played and been about a really decent level. So we feel that we can compete with most teams.
Yeah. You mentioned about clubs, obviously, in intermediate now investing because there is a change coming now for promotion. We'll talk about that in a second. But what investment have Strabane Athletic put in ahead of this season, looking to hit their goals and targets, Raymond?
Look, I suppose for the last 2 years, we had played in the Ballymena Intermediate League, and up until that, they were playing in what was called the Northern Ireland Intermediate League, and I think you probably remember that, alongside the Ulster Senior League, both disbanded kind of at the same time, and there was talk about a cross-border league, I remember, at that time, but as it turned out, we entered the Ballymena Intermediate League, which was probably the best decision the club has made in terms of progression, because it really opened up the whole of the North in terms of where you would play. And then the club has just progressed. The first year, obviously, we had won a league and won a cup, and when we made the playoff, we were deservedly beaten by Oxford Sunnyside, who got promoted that year, and bar a bit of sabbatical for myself in between, but we went back at it last year and obviously achieved promotion, what we had set out to go. Then it came to kind of light over the summer, or over the break, sorry, that there would be a potential that the top four would get promoted. in line with the restructure. And so I think that changed everybody's plans in terms of what they were really going to go for and their aspirations, because it's a 14-team league. So if you talk about four being promoted automatically, I think most teams in the league then might have changed their plans. Now, in terms of backing and sponsorship, you know, you would have the likes of, we have a lot of sponsors that are involved there, the likes of Frylight. You have AGL Accountancy. You have your What's On Your Wall, GMG logo. Joe's Bar would be there. The Fir Trees, hopefully I don't forget anybody. Bistro 21. And then you would have Parkland as well, the restaurant up at the golf club. So all those clubs, along with the supporters and the lotto and that, I suppose, allow the club to try and push on.
And in relation to investment, player-wise, Raymond, what have you done there? Because, yeah, listen, you've got a really talented squad there, and obviously we know who Cathal McShane is, the man that got the winner. He, of course, is the former Tyrone County footballer. But you have a good spread of footballers from the Northwest that have played at either, I suppose, intermediate league with the likes of maybe Cockhill Celtic. You also have players who have played in the Championship and parts in the League of Ireland as well. So there is a really, really good, I suppose, level of footballers that you have there at the minute. And who were the guys that you made the additions to that sort of have you in a place now where you can pull off an historic result like in a League Cup?
Well, look, we've added to the squad over the summer, but we've kind of built the squad over the last 2 years on the basis that, look, we're going to hopefully get there, and I suppose we sold players the opportunity maybe to play at senior football. We've quite a spread. We have probably pretty much an even enough keel between there's 9 or 10 Strabane lads who are there that local basis. Then I suppose that has transitioned over the 2 years. You probably have similar and from Donegal, and even similar again from Derry, and then there's a few. The likes of Rafferty Mackay from Coleraine and young Shea Devlin from Castle Derrick. But other than that, I suppose it's kind of made up of Donegal, Derry and Strabane lads. Probably what has allowed us maybe to get a really, really good calibre of player in a local area is, I suppose there's a huge influx to both the League of Ireland and the Irish League of players from international players and players from overseas. So I think that has allowed clubs like ourselves to place a huge emphasis on getting the best talent maybe locally and trying to bring them in and maybe has allowed us to do that. And the fact that because there is an influx of international players now to the likes of the League of Ireland and the Irish League, that these players now are more readily available.
And obviously you're looking to build on this one. I suppose in the season to date, you've already been playing a lot of cup games because you're still in the Irish Senior Cups. Who you are, Raymond?
Aye, the way that the structure works, if you happen to make the Championship, you would only really play, you would play maybe in the Northwest Senior Cup if you take the Lakes Institute there, but it's we're kind of in between where we would be involved in the Senior Cups and still involved in some of the intermediate level cups. So there's 4 or 5 cup competitions that make up the schedule right up until Christmas. And, you know, after Christmas then, that's just a heavy league schedule, but there'll be 7 or 8, maybe it might be up to 10 league games now before Christmas. And then it'll kick off the league big time then after January.
Yeah, and I suppose do you see it as a golden opportunity in the league this year? Because you mentioned briefly about the changes to the structure. There's going to be 4 sides promoted out of intermediate and no relegation from the second tier Irish League Championship this year. So this has obviously been seen by Strabane Athletic, and we'll include the likes of Derrickview in this as well, because another Tyrone side not too far up the road from you who are currently sitting top of the intermediate league table. Is this a golden opportunity for you guys now to make the step up?
That's a huge opportunity for everybody. As you mentioned, Derrickview there have started quite well, and I think anybody in our area, Port Stewart, Moyola, who are not that far away as well, have all looked at it and said, look, there's an opportunity here. As I say, if it had just been the traditional structure of one straight up and maybe one to play off, then I would imagine a lot of teams would have looked differently and maybe including ourselves. But once it's the top four, I suppose I've said to the players on a few occasions, how often is there 4 teams in a 14-team league going to get promoted? I suppose the way we look at it, is it good timing? I'm not sure, but there's going to be a heavy amount of work to be done between now and the end of the season. I think it's going to be a league that there's going to be loads of ups and downs. It looks like most clubs are going to be able to beat another club on a given day. And we found that out up in Port Stewart. We had started quite well in the league. And we just had, I wouldn't even say an off day, just slightly off it. And Port Stewart were on it. And look, they turned us over, and deservedly so. So I would imagine it's going to be like that quite often. And it's probably like that right up until maybe the bottom half of the championship, where if you look at the Loughrawl result for us, if somebody's slightly off it and the other team's on it, then they're going to be able to pick up points. So it's probably teams that are going to put the most consistent run together. And it's a type of league that five or six wins in the bounce probably propel you right to the top, and two or three losses could propel you near the bottom. So yeah, it's probably going to be a real ding-dong league for the whole year.
Yeah, it certainly is. And just you mentioned obviously how much local players are involved in your side. Now, say it was to happen that Strabane and Derrickview were to go to the championship, you would already have Stoot and Stichut and Limavady United in there. You've also got Ballin and Mallard United, who aren't too far away from the region. And then add in the likes of the Finn Harps and Derry City in the League of Ireland. That's a huge number of clubs in the Northwest playing at a certain senior level. And there's massive opportunities for players in the Northwest. But given the fact that there might be so many, would that be a good thing or a bad thing, Raymond?
Of course, it definitely has probably positives and negatives. But again, if there's that many clubs from this area playing in senior football, I suppose it can only be a positive. It's going to give players in particular loads of opportunity. And I suppose as a club at Strabane, what we've tried to do in the last 2 years and even this year moving forward is to look at how we can, I suppose, become as attractive as possible for players to want to come in. So we've tried to make it as professionally as professional as possible. And it's all about, you know, trying to gain those edges in terms of strength and conditioning sessions and extra nights and that type of stuff. So look, it's probably going to serve everybody quite well as long as everybody takes it well and looks to try and improve and push on. But I suppose if you take the third division of the League of Ireland there as well, that potentially could come along, you could have, you know, maybe one or two clubs in Donegal that potentially go into that, which would, I suppose, add another few clubs to it. And the only concern, I suppose, from a management perspective is, would the quality players disperse, that you have all clubs maybe not competing at the top end where they should be? And rather than having loads of teams in the, I suppose, the first division in the League of Ireland and the championship in the north, you know, with less teams, could you potentially have teams playing in the premiership in the north and the premier division in the League of Ireland? I'm not sure, but I suppose that'll be remain to be seen.
Certainly will. But listen, that's a conversation for another day, if it was to happen. But Raymond, many congratulations to you and everyone involved at Strabane Athletic for that super result in the League Cup. And all we can do is give you our best wishes for the rest of the season and what lies ahead in the other cup competitions, and obviously on your hunt to get promotion. So all the best, Raymond, and many thanks for joining us tonight in The Score.
Oh, look, thank you, Anoshi. Just before I go, I just want to wish or say well done to yourself, obviously, in the award there recently. It's brilliant, I suppose, for our area, and it's very well done from ourselves, myself and from everybody at Strabane.
Okay, I appreciate that, Raymond. Thank you. Talk again soon.
Sure, Anoshi. Thank you. Thanks.
Okay then, time for a commercial break here on The Score. We'll be back with more football after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score. Now, we are entering the League of Ireland end of season running for Finn Harps, who are off to Dundalk, a side who can win the First Division title tomorrow night, Friday, with a win against the Donegal side. For Harps, there's nothing to play for, having lost ground in recent weeks in the battle for a playoff place. In the background, the academy teams have been working away, and this week three players are involved in the Irish under-17 team, looking to cement a place on the side for the World Cup next year. Harps are also set to benefit from the funding announced this week in the budget that will be put into grassroots football across the country. Well, Chris Ashmore this week has been speaking on a number of topics with the Finn Harps head of academy and senior manager, Kevin McHugh.
Kevin, the final few games of the league and this weekend, well, first of all, Dundalk, who will have a bumper crowd, they're going for the league title. You said it at the start of the season that, I think I'm right in saying you thought Cove were possibly the best side, and perhaps that's borne out by the results between yourselves and Dundalk and Cove. You've actually given Dundalk a bit of a run for the money in your previous games against them.
Yeah, we have. Obviously, at the end of the season, tables don't lie. The tables have been finished as top reserves. They won the league. But I just felt that Cove were, individually, there's just loads of players that can hurt you in different ways. And Dundalk are no different. Dundalk have individual players that are top-notch. And that's why they're right up there, and that's why it's gone down to the wire. And yeah, as you say, there'll be a bumper crowd tonight, or sorry, tomorrow night. And yeah, they'll be fully expecting a home one, but we're not just going there to make up the numbers either. You know what I mean? We have our own aspirations and we have our own plans, even ahead of next year. So we're going down to give the best account of ourselves as we can. You know.
Yeah, because if Dundalk do not win and Cove win, it could boil down to the last game of the season when Dundalk do travel to Cove, but that's not your chief concern. Now, you mentioned there, you know, looking ahead to next season, three games left. How important is it that you finish on a positive note?
Yeah, that's it. We've had a couple of weeks where just things haven't gone our way, and there's no excuses from our camp. We just haven't defended well enough. We seem to be creating and scoring goals, which is probably the hardest thing to do in football. But now we just need to get back to basics and start taking some of that in the pre-season next year. We're certainly not looking that far ahead in terms of what we're doing, but at the moment we want the crux of the squad to get back to basics and start defending both boxes as best we can, and that's what we've been doing since we came in, and we just let those standards slip over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and if we just get those standards back up there again. It's as simple as that.
Now, you will be missing the likes of Josh Cullen, Corey Sheridan, Gavin McAteer off to Spain with the Irish under-17 squad. They have a couple of friendlies against Poland this Friday and Switzerland on Monday. So great to see that, you know, the players are coming through, and you need experience to get promotion and to win things, but the pathway is there, and certainly... for anybody who's even at a younger age looking up at the way things are going at Harps at the moment, this certainly inspires other people, because we're seeing more and more players from Harps actually getting recognition at a higher level.
Yeah, it's something as a club we're very keen to develop, and we've been working hard on that over the last 2.5-3 years. Obviously, there's been more work going on and behind that maybe for the last decade, but the last couple of years, and that top end of the pathway, we're starting to correct that, and we're starting to add dates, and we're adding it now as we speak, and we're trying to develop that whole end, and you can see the likes of Corey, Josh and Gavin, and there's more players there, and three boys, it's brilliant for them. They're heading away to Spain to play games in preparation, hopefully to be on the plane for the World Cup, on the 17th World Cup, which would be massive for our football club. They have players involved, so yeah, those are definitely the highlights of the season. And your academy players coming through and really bedding in, and plus the local players are really standing up as well, because they're seeing the standards are being risen around with this, and they want to be part of that as well, and moving into 2026. So yeah, huge positive, and hopefully the boys can put their best foot forward and get a real chance of making that squad for the World Cup, you know.
And another player who's come through the ranks, Oisin Cooney, signed for Burnley, and he's played for their under-21 side in their last three games. So, you know, he's hit the ground running.
Yeah, and there's no surprise there, to be fair. He's been playing men's football and been involved and around the team for the last couple of years. And that is a massive part of it. Being up around the change room, being in and around highly competitive football. When these kids are travelling down the likes of Dundalk or Cove, there's nobody in that position bench and holding back, thinking that these are 16 or 17 year olds. They're full tilt, and that's a brilliant grounding for these boys. Not academy football anymore. It's not people that'll look after you. You're out there, and you're out there on your own. You have to learn. You have to learn quickly, and be fair to the boys. They do. Yeah. Yes, there's going to be wee bumps on along the road for us in terms of maybe some results and mistakes and stuff. But we get on with them very quickly and move on to the following week. So, and the boys see that as well.
Now, during the week in the budget, it was announced €3 million for academies around the country. Now, the FAI had been hoping for more, but it is a significant start, I suppose, and the hope will be that there'll be more funding to come. So it's a recognition that the academies throughout the country are working.
Yeah, massive work put in by especially the likes of Will Clark, who's the overall academy manager in the country. And I do mean massive work. I've seen it at ground level, and I've been there from the first meetings 4 or 5 years ago during COVID. And to get to this point where you're actually getting money for academy football, it's a brilliant, brilliant step forward. And I think it's a landmark day for academy football in the Republic and for League Ireland clubs. And I think it's a start of things. And huge credit to the ministers and TDs who recognise that, yeah, that the future lies with academy football in the Republic to really feed these international teams, and they put a team out there that's going to be stronger going forward. And also it's going to create a business model at each club as well. And it's going to raise standards at each club. And when you raise standards, and raise crowds, and then revenue raises. So it's a win-win. And I think it's a really, really good day for League Ireland clubs. It's more than welcome for the clubs like ourselves, where we can hire in more expertise and stuff like that. So we've already done just our interviews there last week for head of academies and stuff. So all that stuff is really, really positive and can only benefit the football club.
So at a practical level, in effect, this means for Harps, you are going to be getting money that it's going to take the pressures off the club a little bit financially, that there's money coming directly for the running of the academy.
Yeah, that's directed straight at academies, and it'll be used for academies. The finer details and the actual amounts are not going to be said. Like, there's a lot of clubs in there. And it's not just League Ireland clubs, there's other academies in Ireland that are part of the system. And so all that has to be shared out to the FAI. Obviously has to admin everything, so there'll be money coming out of there. But the fact that the figure in this budget is really good and much appreciated and very welcome. But I think going forward, there's obviously amounts that probably have to increase to really, really drive it forward. But this is a brilliant starting point for every club. And to be able to hire full-time people and to drive things behind the scenes, you know, because it's just got so many spinning plates in every job, whether it be your senior manager or the academy manager, so many layers to it, and it really is a full-time job. And to do it properly, and you've seen it at other clubs, and all, there's probably only a handful of clubs that are full-time, but even chatting to those individuals, I can see the real, real benefit in it and how it works. And so, yeah, it's definitely a welcome addition and one we'll certainly try and grasp.
And for those people who maybe, you know, don't follow Finn Harps affairs too closely or just look at the first team, just remind us again about, you know, the scale of the numbers involved. How many teams are there at an underage level at Harps at the moment?
Yeah, well, we have three pre-academy squads and that remain with their local clubs throughout the county. And then we have four National League boys squads and we have two National League girls squads. And then obviously the first team. And so, yeah, there's a lot of bodies, a lot of coaches involved, a lot of brilliant volunteer coaches that are key to keeping the whole thing going. And so, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. But you do need that full-time reference point just to be there to oversee all this, because as I said, there is just so many layers to it, 7 days a week, hours wise, time wise, it just really isn't. You can be answering the phone at any time of the day, any time of the night. It's just one of those jobs and one of those roles. You just have to accept that, and it's part of it. But yeah, that's one. As I said, the club is definitely going to and help drive forward everything we're trying to do good off the pitch, and that I've no doubt will relay on the pitch in the coming years and months.
Yeah, and encouragingly, we're coming towards the end of the season, but the teams in the various underage leagues, they've certainly been able to compete at a high level, and some of them are pushing for places very much in the upper echelons of those leagues.
Yeah, that's clear. Something, it's not a key indicator for us, but it's definitely something. You're not going to tell a bunch of kids to go out and not win a game, because that's winning's a huge part of it. It's how you won is more work we're concerned about, but it's really, really positive signs over the last few years how we're able to compete and the players coming through. And as you said at the start of the interview, the players are starting to see, because they've played alongside, and Musk, Gavin and Josh and Corey and all these players, and Armagallans and all, they've played along with them throughout the year. So it gives them that wee extra drive to see that there's a pathway there. And again, I've went on record before, and Darren before me has went on record before, because he had the same mindset. That's age, really. If you come up when you're at first team training, we don't look if you're a 16, 15, 17, 18, 19 year old. It's just, are you able, and are you good enough? And that's how it works. That's how simple it is. And if you are, then you'll be in and around the first team, and you most likely will get your chance. So it's a good time to be at the club, if you're an aspiring footballer. And so yeah, that's definitely what we aim for. Maybe 3 to 4 years ago, when we try to change things. And to be fair, our chairman, Ian, he's been the driving force behind all this, and this is his foresight for a more sustainable club. And that's the way forward. When you're trying to build facilities, you have to have a sustainable model. And these are just the pluses coming out of that. But we're still a lot to improve on, still a lot to get right off the pitch and on the pitch. So we'll keep pushing forward, you know.
And finally, Kevin, just back to the Dundalk game and the remaining matches, for the players who are maybe out of contract at the end of the season, and players who maybe you know or think will not be there at the end of the campaign, does that come into play in terms of your team selection and even motivating, or is everybody just still focusing on the next match and going out to do everything they can to win?
Yeah, it's a bit of that. It's just getting, because we've suspensions, and we've still people carrying Knox and Niggles, and we've two games, we've obviously three games in a week again. This is our fifth or sixth time we've had three games in a week now this season, and that's probably has cost us probably the most. I mean, we travel involved and injuries, but yeah, we'll see who's fit tonight, and obviously the three boys missing, there'll be three more coming in. Three more fresh faces coming in, maybe from the 20s, and that's the way we'll work it. But no, we just put our best foot forward. We're not looking at contract situations for next year or anything like that. It's trying to put the best team out there to try and win the game, and that's the way we take it, game to game.
Yeah, so you've played Dundalk three times, you've beaten them once, you drew with them, and then you had a 1-0 defeat. So they're certainly, it's their last home game of the season. They're hoping to be celebrating promotion and a title, but you'll be hoping to spoil the party.
Yeah, and they deserve to have to be in that chance, because how they've played all year, and they have been the along with Coles, the top team all year. So they deserve to bring it down to a night like tonight. They've got a chance of winning it, but as you say, we'll not be getting involved in any of that stuff. We're totally just focused on ourselves and what we can do. And that's where we've been all year, to be fair. So there'll be no difference tomorrow night.
That's Kevin McHugh from Harp speaking to Chris Ashmore on a number of topics there. And of course, they are in Dundalk tomorrow night as they head into the closing games of the season. Okay, we have to catch up on another break. Gaelic Games is on the way next.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leader in sports equipment for clubs and schools at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme. We are turning our attention now to Gaelic Games, and before we look ahead to some big finals this weekend, just to remind you, we do of course have our dedicated GAA programme, which is available now to listen back to on our website. I stood in for Brendan Devaney this week, where we were joined by a number of clubs looking ahead to the big deciders this weekend, and that is now available as a podcast on our website. And don't forget, you can, of course, tune in every Monday as well, just after the 7 o'clock news. Well, it is a big weekend. Well, the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Club Championship Finals at junior and senior level taking place on Saturday and Sunday at the O'Donnell Park. In our feature matches, we will have live commentary from the Junior A final, Cairn Donagh against Letterkenny Gaels on Saturday, which starts at 4. And then we'll have full match commentary from the 3:30 throw-in of the big senior decider as Gweedore and Niamh Connell go head-to-head once again. We'll preview that senior final shortly, but first, let's look at that junior game. And Letterkenny Gaels have become familiar with finals at this level in recent years. And this weekend, it will see them contest their fourth decider out of the previous six, but they have won just one of those, and that was in 2022 when they defeated this weekend's opponents, Cairn Donagh, in the final. And that was Cairn's first pop at glory in recent times, but the Inishowen side fell short on that occasion, and they were also beaten in last year's final as well against Niamh Padraig Ishgahin. So, coming up, we'll hear from Dara Brown from the Cairn Donagh Club, but first of all, Páraic Hulfraith caught up with Gaels boss Eddie Glacken, who, of course, has brought them to a final in what is his first year in charge.
It's been enjoyable. It's actually flown in so far, Páraic. I suppose we were trying out different things, getting used to the players. They were getting used to us during the league, and you know, we experimented a lot. So coming into the championship now, we've tried to get a wee bit more momentum and a settled team. And for the semi final against Niamh Breed was our fourth week in a row out. So you know, there's a certain level of fitness and momentum going now. But yeah, it was a crazy semi final. You know, it was one of them ones, after about 10 minutes, it was down to the two sets of players, tactics, everything seemed to go out the window. They just ended up in a shootout, and fair play to Niamh Breed, you know, they were excellent too, but our lads, you know, they showed real mental strength in the second half, you know, to get improved. We had a very poor first half, and they got themselves back into the game, and then we had the fitness levels in, and obviously we had an extra man for the last 20 minutes as well, the extra time. So all in all, we're happy we're in a fight final against Cairn Donagh now, and we're very happy to be there.
I suppose you've played Cairn Donagh earlier in the group stages as well, Eddie, and you had a wee look at them then, but you know, a final's a different game really, but suppose having the advantage of playing them will potentially be an advantage, but again, a final comes with its own merits.
Oh, 100%, yeah, like they're really good team. We knew that anyway, they're a very good team. The day we played them in the group, I think it finished up with 6 points ahead, but you know, there was large periods of that game where we played very well would have been happy enough with, but it's like everything else. You know, you'll sit down and watch that game and the other games that we've seen of Cairn, and you'll try and take as much out of it and as many learnings. But I think for our lads, it was good we had them in the group, because you know, sometimes if you don't play a team and you're seeing the results, or you know, it's good just to see them in the flesh. You know, to just to realise that they're a football team like everybody else. They're a really good side. They're very well managed by Michael O'Donnell, and you know, a lot of people are seeing them as heavy favourites for this one, but being from Glen Swilly, that sits us well over the years.
Dara here, in the junior final once again. You were defeated last year by Muff. You're back in it, you're playing Letterkenny Gaels this year. How's it going to go?
Well, first of all, we're back where we wanted to be. There's a lot of hurt from last year. A couple of years before that as well. I think this is 3 finals in the last 4 years. We know where we're at now, and we know what we have to do as well.
You had a good semi-final victory over St Mary's Convoy. You were well up. They came back at you strongly. Was it a nervous finish?
I suppose it might have been nervous for people watching. We did expect Convoy to come with everything they had. You know, it's championship football, and they threw everything at us. Thankfully, we got a little bit of control right towards the end of the game again. Kept the heads, kept the ball, and worked a couple of scores, you know, which was pleasing. It's probably a good thing overall to come through a tight semi-final. I know Gaels went all the way to extra time too, and they'll be thinking the exact same. So hopefully it sets both teams up well for a good final.
I have to ask about Conor Donnell. He had such a good year for the Donegal team. How has he integrated back into Cairn?
Oh, listen, it's obviously an easy thing to bring a player of Conor's quality back in, and Conor's, it's great watching him for Donegal, but it's even better to get him back for us then. Obviously, other teams are very well aware of it too, and he's been getting a wee bit of treatment, I suppose, off the ball, which you'd hope now with linesmen and extra officials at this game in the final that, you know, that he can get a fair shot at it as well. And yeah, it'd be great to get over the line for Connor as well after, you know, the All Ireland and the disappointment there.
Yeah. So has this Cairn done his time to land the junior and get up to intermediate football?
Listen, there's a lot of hurt there from the last few years. We've worked really hard to get back here, and we really want to give a good account of ourselves now, and see where that takes us. But all going well, it's a third time lucky.
Ryan Ferry, sports editor of the Donegal News, there speaking with Cairn Donagh player Dara Brown ahead of that big final. And of course, it will be live here on Highland. Jim O'Doherty and Brendan Kilcoyne in commentary on Saturday. It starts at 4 o'clock. So on to the senior decider. Guido and Niamh Connell are undoubtedly two of the biggest hitters when it comes to club football in Donegal. The Mahabhargallan side, who last won the title in 2018, are aiming to rejoin St Eunan's at the top of the championship roll of honour by winning their 16th title in the competition's illustrious history. Niamh Connell, meanwhile, have built up their status as one of Donegal's elite in the past two decades. They've been crowned winners on seven occasions since 2005. Once again, live commentary here in Highland from that game. I'll be joined by the two Brendans, Mr. Devaney and Mr. Kilcoyne, as from the 3:30 throw-in. And in the lead-up to the game, Páraic Hulfordy has been speaking to both managers for Highland Radio Sport. Coming up, we'll hear from Ronan McNeillis, the Gidor boss. But first, Niamh Connell manager Martin Regan, who says it's been a tough road to get back to another final this year.
It's been a titanic struggle to get this far, right? Throughout from the group stages, we lost two of our four group stage games. And the other two, we won by a point and 2 points. So, look, the four group games were really, really tough. And then we beat Killybegs with a few late goals against Killybegs. We won that by 4 or 5 points at the end up. And then two massive tests against Termon and for Masters. Both, you know, we were dead and buried against Termon. We were 6 down with 4 minutes to go. You know, it was lights out for most teams. But the boys kept battling away. We got a wee break with Max's goal there to bring us level. And obviously, Fimber kicked the winner after that. And then yesterday, obviously, with 4 Masters, extra time. And, you know, it could have went anyway, as any game could when it's that close, but we just came out the right side of it, thankfully, and we live to fight another day.
Yeah, I suppose looking at the group stages, there was defeats at home and things you just don't associate with. Niamh Connell, no doubt there was a bit of head-scratching going out through that group stages, wondering where we're at, really.
Yeah, definitely. From the first day, you know, we went over to Glensfryan the first day, we lost that first game, and then we'd outran the second game, a big derby down the field, and again, no more than the for Masters and Termon's game, it was late on, I think we were point down or 2 points down actually, with the time more or less up, and Brick kicked a 2-pointer and we followed up, we got another point then after that there as well. We won't be getting another point after that, but it was one of them. We were really, really lucky to come out of that there with a victory, and same up and downing, so it was no different as well. I think we were 7 or 8 up or right at half time, but a huge wind and we were a man down, and look, we just ground out a victory. We were lucky to get over the line that day, so it really was just a case of surviving them games and moving on. And thankfully now we've improved as the years went on, and things haven't got any easier, but performance have been a bit better.
You've unearthed a number of new players this year that you maybe didn't have last year.
Yeah, and I suppose with the five weeks running, you've had to do that because we've been unfortunate. We've picked up injuries, like Max got injured that game against Ardragh, and Keelan McGill got injured that game against Ardragh, and you know, Keelan's first game back was yesterday, so we ended up missing 4 games over an injury, and Max the same, and then Owen Begettigan got hurt 2 weeks ago, and he's missed 2 games, and that's the unfortunate thing. You know, if you pick up an injury, I think it's something we need to look at going forward, because you know, Owen's worked so hard all year to get back playing football, and then he picks up an injury and looks like he could miss the rest of the club championship because it's so condensed. So it's something that probably does need to be looked at. The game is faster, there's no doubt about that there's more injuries happening, and you get players who work so hard all year, then they end up missing, you know, the biggest games of the year then, because they're so close together. But look, it's not an easy thing to get right. I know the fixture calendar, when you look at the county and the club setup, it is condensed, but it is something that I suppose it's not right on players that they're playing such a fast game so close together.
There's a couple of the regulars in there, Brendan McDyer, and you've also got John O'Malley, but I suppose you mentioned that man Kieran Gallard, midfield back, you know, in really super condition. Some of the play that he's been at over the championship has been impressive as well. But looking at your defence, you've touched on Ulton Doherty, but looking at your half-back line of Max and Finbar, and also I think it was O'Donnell who's in that half-back line as well. So, you know, building from the back and moving the ball at pace has been something you have been getting used to this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose obviously again the rule changes have been a big help for Kieran. More kickouts are going longer, and as you say, he's a huge man, he's good in the air, so he's got to showcase that this year, the high fielding, whereas in the past a lot of kickouts would have bypassed him as such with short kickouts and getting them away. So we have seen more fielding throughout, not just with Kieran but with other teams throughout the championship. Pace is a huge thing now, obviously, and the fitness levels are a huge thing, so I think Max and Finbar and Ethan have given us that, the legs going forward. But with Gidor, no different with the legs, Michael Rorty and boys like that as well. They've rode the pace to our wheel, all them boys. So it'll make for an interesting final.
The hunger and desire is still there, Martin, and you've been at the helm for quite a number of years now. Where do you get the energy every year to keep coming back, to keep showing up? Sometimes, I suppose, it comes from the players within, but there must be something within yourself looking for another title.
It is. Look, it's enjoyable. They're a competitive crew down in Glenties, you know, even reffing in-house games and training games, they can be in yarky at times, so they can, but that's just their competitive edge. It's a great thing, and you know they come back hungry every year, no matter what happened the previous year, whether they've won a championship, where they're beat, as we were in a quarter final last year or a county final. They come back hungry and looking for more success, and I suppose you won't always have the good times, and we have a good team there this last 15-20 years, and we're trying to make the most of that now, and we have a good squad there.
Gidor are the side that are trying to stop you getting the Dr. Maguire. No doubt you've watched them throughout this season so far. They've come through the group stages unbeaten, and obviously into the and after a good semi-final performance against St. Michael, a different challenge for you once again. But you know what Gidor bring?
Yeah, definitely. Look at Gidor, the same every year in terms of physicality. They'll always be honest and physical. Seem to be very well set up defensively this year. We haven't seen an awful lot of them yet so far, but they seem to be very well set up defensively, and obviously they've some top forwards, so they have. And you know, no more than ourselves, Gidor will be hurting from last year as well. They ran Unions to a point, I think it was, in the semi-final last year, and would have felt that they left that behind them maybe. I know they had a free at the end that could have levelled it or could have won it for them maybe in the end. I can't think what it was, but they ran Unions really, really close last year, so they'll come back hurting as well from last year. And no more than ourselves, they'll leave everything on the field.
Ronald McNeillis, no doubt you're really looking forward to it. Delighted to be there, first of all. But having won all your games, obviously you've had to win the quarterfinal, semi-final to get you into the final. But in the group stages, it's been a very good season so far, Ronald.
Yeah, for the league, we started off very poorly. It was a real kick up the backside first at the start of the league in the Gaeltacht. We lost four or five games in a row, which was completely unacceptable for Gidor to be in that situation. But maybe it was what turned things around for us, and after that we went very well in the league. And then that form, we got into the championship then, it carried on, and we just took it a game at a time in the championship, and we happened to win all our games. So we're in the situation we're in now.
This is your third year in management now. You're into your second county final, I suppose. And I know the first year you've referenced it a few times, saying, look, you weren't expecting to get into it. But suppose now you've had another year, 2 years, you know, of that experience. How's that been able to help you along the way?
Yeah, it definitely was too soon for us that first year. Great to be there, and that experience will stand us. This year, and hopefully will stand to us in the final this year too. But year two then, we were a lot happier with our progress. And I've said before as well, that semi-final really hurt last year against Unions, because there was 1 point and they went on to win it. We felt we were so close that day. And then this year, the boys, I think, that younger group that started with us 3 years ago, and a few boys came in last year and maybe one or two this year, you can see now that they're more experienced and they're more confident in themselves and their ability, and there's nothing else to it apart from the work they've put in themselves. Like, I can't give them enough praise for the work they've put in, like, and they deserve all the credit they get for that, like, and everything we ask of them, they do it, and they're great lads.
Looking at that pedigree Gidor has, you know, winning back-to-back under-21s, minor titles as well, supposing you've got that conveyor belt coming through. But suppose when you're looking at your team this year, and, you know, the different positions and, you know, the different plays that you're trying to get involved, and the new tactics as well, as in the new rules, I should say, that has been a real benefit for Gidor, because you've an actual footballer down there that likes to go forward, likes to create space, likes to get on the score sheet as well. You have a lot of scoring threats throughout the pitch.
Yeah, we do. We're not kind of over-reliant on any one player to get our scores. This was the last day there, even in the semi-final. We had different boys popping up with big scores for us compared to the quarterfinal, so that's good to see that you're not reliant on anyone. So that's a good place to be. And you mentioned the new rules. That was a huge challenge for us all this year, every manager in the country. But we took part in the Ulster League, and we felt that was just it was a great learning for the to get used to those new rules and get to grips with them. So just those games really helped bring it on. And then, as you say, the natural footballers in Gidor, like, they're just football mad, and they've all grown up playing football, and they have so much footballing ability, and they adapted pretty well to those rules, and they've brought it on now in the Championship, luckily enough.
I suppose when you look now, it's the old enemy. You had a trilogy in 2019 against them. What's it going to take for the Gidor side to get over Niamh Connell? We know the doggedness of them. We've seen it in the semi-final, the quarter-final. No doubt you have a plan for them, but it's a huge task in front of you.
Oh, huge task. Niamh Connell have been in eight of the last nine. This will be their eighth final in 9 years. And they've won more than they've lost in those. They know how to win finals. They know how to win games. They've got a serious bit of talent coming through there. And the three young fellas there, especially Malone, Campbell and Rorty, probably going to be Young Player of the Year in the country. Kieran Gallagher has been a huge addition this year as well, and you add that to the experienced players they have there already. It's a pretty lethal combination that they have, and then to have someone with Regan's experience on the line and all, like, this final day to them is just second nature. They know how it goes. They know the rigmarole. I can't imagine there'll be much nerves. Whereas for us, it's the complete opposite. We're not used to it, with a lot of new players and that's never experienced that before. So, look, we'll go out, we'll give it our best shot, and we're going to need a few breaks and we'll need a few things to go our way. But here's hoping we perform on the day and going down the stretch, the game's in the melting pot, and we might get the job done.
That's Ronan McNeillis, the Gwydor manager, looking ahead to that final, which starts at 3:30 at the Donald Park on Sunday. That, of course, is our big, massive feature game this weekend on Highland Radio Sport. And there's lots of deciders taking place in Donegal. And indeed, we're down to the last four in both the Derry and Tyrone championships as well at intermediate and senior level. So certainly some big games in the Northwest to come on Saturday and Sunday. But that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, it will be available on our website, highlandradio.com. So for me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of your Thursday, have a very good evening.